Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Dzogchen count is called Red Solar Moon, and it is the ninth day of the Red Dragon Wave spell, and it is the rhythmic moon, day 10. So in the rhythmic moon, we are in the second week. Each week is 7 days. That's easy to understand. And the first one is in the east, and now we're in the north, the second week, until Saturday. And so we pass through this 7-day window every moon of sort of exploring the spirit aspects and influence in our life and within the rhythmic tone. And it is sometimes more spacious, abstract, spaced out. Maybe we can more easily connect to spirit and feel meditative. The first week is a description of our minds being on fire, and that place of the rising sun, first dawn, first glimmer of light is where our trajectory begins when we are moving through red, white, blue, yellow, or east, north, west, south. So the first week has some fire and mental activity, but then it's opened up in the second week to not necessarily like the kind of expansive thinking that's just pure enlightenment, but just the space that's created by focusing on spirit, meaning we are focused on our spirits and the spirit world. That's a non-material world, and so it is about space. It's about emptiness that isn't devoid of meaning. It's empty of physical, material presence. So that's what's interesting about this time. When we have full 7 days exploring the north, then we are just dropped into it. Every moon, one quarter of the time, we're dropped into this experience, just as we're obviously dropped into the eastern flaming mind moment and the western transformative, watery, emotional place. And then the south is where there is a material world, where there is a physicalized world, and that things can feel in some way kind of leaden, but on the other hand, it's the manifestation, the realization of everything else we experienced in the moon. Things are slower and more solid because they've been made manifest. They start with this flame of an idea in our mind, and then they pass through the presence of the spirit world, and then they are alchemized in the West through emotional yearning and emotional distress. Even as we grow and change, then something is born, that metaphor again, in the south. And it is like that word manifestation. It's something you could touch with your hand or made from hands. I think that's what manifestation means. Okay, so that's one way of looking at the rhythmic moon. And then I really got into it last podcast. I feel like I kind of, as it were, drummed it into you and beat it into you like a drum beat, like a heartbeat, what the rhythmic moon is. So I can't do that again. We covered that, and you can listen to it if you want to hear what I had to say ad nauseum. I'll come back to the rhythmic moon if I can think of something to add that's interesting. I'm just going to make observations about the red dragon wave spell because, oh, I just am such a bad little, like, shaman at the moment because I am just a brutal manual laborer, brutal to my own body. And I don't know. I can't think of that as, like, expansive, mind-opened, existential, you know, infusion of divinity. I just think of it as me making real a dream. And so that's sort of like birthing or being a mother. But that's my own experience, but it doesn't make me very like observant of the days. I spend the days on this one little parcel of land mostly. And so what would I say? You know, this is my experience. This is not necessarily a great wisdom or a big insight. It's just what happens to me is that I go through these wave spells and then I can find the metaphor and just really take off. So I have been a mother twice, two different daughters, and I was a single mother for the second round. And I think that being a mother is so consuming and exhausting. Not every minute of every year, but certainly the window of having an infant and then add infant plus toddler plus my husband left or we agreed that leaving was good or something happened where I just was like lost all track of time. I lost weight. I was completely immersed in the tasks that were demanded of me and it was way too much. And It was like having the synapses of my brain just like short circuit, but still automated, you know, running through the activities demanded of me by my children. And it was really humbling and really present and really memorable, like burned into my memory because it was so over the top difficult to maintain that kind of productivity as a person serving two dependents. And I think that I'm having that experience now that, you know, this wave spell that celebrates motherhood for me could be all different parts of being a mother or being mothered, but I'm just reconnecting to a time when I was so busy that, you know, all I could do is be performative, what was asked of me, not politely by children, but just obviously the situation demanded of me each moment of each day that I perform in a certain way. And I probably, you know, failed 30% of the time, but I kept having to, you know, get up and try. And I'm having a really delightful time being as busy I am now, but it really reminds me of that grueling pace and kind of like mind melding, full immersion where you forget there's an outside world, which is really special, you know, when you're so present with what is and it just sort of excludes memories or projections into the future or even perceptions that other people are doing things that are different, you know, that there's something so solidifying about that kind of immersion or intensity. And maybe that has something to do with this red dragon time being in the birth canal of a sort. But you know, I'll still be working on this project for the white wizard wave spell and then the blue hand wave spell. And then after that comes, I'm not even sure, yellow sun wave spell. Like I'm going to be still working the same kind of list of everyday tasks and endless details in this project. And I'll be able to view or experience it through the lens of each of the wave spells I've just named. So I think that there is a kind of culty, obsessive part of following a natural time where you train yourself and it's almost an ego override that happens where the ego's like, well, it's the red dragon wave spell, so my building project is like birthing something, you know, and that's, it doesn't have to be that simplistic. But it isn't bad to be like, well, this is a wave spell about mothering. Oh, this reminds me of this kind of mothering that I did when I was just lost in overwhelm. And why is it good to be able to make those associations? Well, there are two reasons. One is that it's good for our brain activity and, you know, whatever the parts of our brain that are good at focusing or need practice, being attuned, focused, and pinpointing, you know, searching, seeking, finding, like that part of our brain, if we exercise it, it's really good for us. It means that we continue to be curious and answer questions through seeking. And I think that creates vitality in the brain and vitality in our whole being. And then the other thing is just that if you organize your life, here's that rhythmic word, rhythmic tone, rhythmic moon word. If you organize your life around the wave spells, even your perceptions get organized around the wave spells. That's like a drishti in yoga. That's a great word and a great concept. It's like when you're about to fall over in a balancing pose, you train your eye on something out ahead of you and you don't move your gaze. And that's point of focus is your drishti. And this is our drishti here, is the red dragon wave spells, my drishti. And I'm just letting everything run through the filter of what red dragon might mean to me. I'll learn new things about what it means, but I also have a whole predisposition that it means something about the grandeur of mothering and the divinity of mothering and the divine mother and the kind of creation that really is like having a birth canal opening up within me or moving through a birth canal that is from some other greater mother presence. And all of those iterations, there's a lot, there's a whole splay of choices or interwoven thoughts and perceptions that relate to red dragon in my mind and your mind, and then our sort of agreed upon natural time dream spell orientation to the Mayan teachings. But we use this drishti of red dragon to be honoring. It's like prayer and ritual. Like I bow to the red dragon. I worship at the altar of the red dragon. Like you could go somewhere where they've created a kind of religious site for the red dragon, and we would envision ourselves there right now, you know, astrally. And whatever is sort of happens in the red dragon space of worship and the humility that we summon in ourselves, like I turn my life and will over to the red dragon for these 13 days, then it's perfectly fine if you have child level like thoughts, orientations, synchronicities. It can be silly because part of this path is being childlike and believing in magic. You know, that's my obsession, that their magic is real. So that's part of it. And then there's also, like I said, that just training our mind to do all this observing and asking and seeking, that's really good for us. Oh, wow. I'm glad I talked about that because it's true. It's true. It's true that if you are on the outside of this path or just learning about it, you can be like, well, I mean, that seems kind of fixated that you say it's the red dragon time and then you think about everything through the red dragon lens. That seems a little like falsified. But it only sort of is that after the first year or two where you're just tripping out because you don't really know what the red dragon wave spell is, but all of a sudden you're giving birth in it. I did. I had a child on day 4 of the red dragon wave spell. I already had her before I studied natural time, but like, there you go. Like, that was pretty literal. I didn't have to be too imaginative to notice that the red dragon wave spell brought, you know, an actual physical birth into my life. But after a couple of years of going through the wave spells or the days and seeing what they mean to you, then you can start to collect all these orientations that when we get to the wave spell, you're like, well, my orientation to red dragon really traditionally is to celebrate the original greatest feminine deity that we have forgotten to worship in a Western world. And then you will. That's what you'll do during this time. Okay, that was fun to talk about like that. And now I need to stop. because some of this is just because of the brain scramble that my head isn't very intellectual or abstract right now. I want to, let's see, if today is, did we even talk about that? It's day 9. It's red solar moon. And so we pulse our intention for the whole wave spell. And it's about speaking the language of the sun. That's why it's called solar. We're communicating the way the sun does. And the sun is the almighty. And so we are, you know, we talk in kind of grandiose terms, perhaps, and we speak quickly or forcefully as if we were on fire, as if our words and thoughts were a ray that emanated from us, as if we were, you know, all the burning gases that the sun is created from. Like, just we are emitting all of this, like, fiery, flaming, practically explosive radiance in the solar tone. And I met a solar person and I was explaining, like, yeah, solar people, like, are so good at planning and saying what it is they want to do, and they have all these ideas of what they're going to do. They're on fire, they're communicative, they're, you know, they're aflame, they're super, you know, it's all burning, this burning desire. And it's hard to get just that one step farther where it's manifested, because today is a solar day, tomorrow is a planetary day, and that's always true. If it's a solar moon, then the next moon is planetary. They're always conjoined. One is call, the other is response. And so we call, you know, in the language of the sun, and we're answered in the language of the planet, which is where we live, where we belong. You know, I don't belong on the sun. I will when I die. You know, that's sort of the simplistic theory, is when I die, I go to the light. When I'm born, it's from a spark of light that my conception, you know, was set aflame. My lifetime was from this, like, little firefly that came down from the solar system. It's sort of my vision of it all, and it's connected. We go to the light, we come from the light. But when we're on the planet, we're not on fire. We might be on a solar day. Some of us are born in the solar tone, and we're fiery humans on planet Earth, but we are the emblem of our existence is that it's planetary, and therefore it is not on fire. It is sort of like a rock, you know, it's solid. And so we are on fire on the solar day, and the planetary day we are solidified. And the planetary day, which will be white planetary dog on Thursday, Christmas Eve, white planetary dog will be the peak of our wave of the red dragon wave spell. And it is, again, in the sequence of, like, right before we get to the peak, we have this conversation with the sun. You know, it's as our wave is escalating to the sky, as if it, this altitudinal chase was towards enlightenment or into the heavens, like we would just keep climbing. We are singing out to the sun, like, hi, I see you. I'm Icarus. I am flying towards you. I'm coming. I'm coming with great speed. I'm rising, you know, I'm on my way. You are what I seek. And then the sun answers on the planetary day, like, I'm happy to meet you. You belong on planet Earth. That's where you're going to stay. This is gravity. Gravity keeps you there. And it's interesting, like, the word gravity comes from something related to the grave. And we talk about the gravity of the situation, which is like the seriousness, and being grave is seriousness, and graves are where people are buried. And so, like, there's just this idea that gravity drives us down to Earth, where we, you know, we rest in peace. We lie still compared to being a flame or on fire or a star, you know, in, out in the solar system. We're here in this planetary reality, and the sun tells us, I can give you something that is the peak of your experience. You will have a manifestation. This planetary tone day celebrates that you accomplished or learned something or acquired it. But that's it. You're not coming all the way up here. You're staying down there. And then the wave breaks because gravity snaps all that altitudinal climbing and the escalating and the setting oneself free to fly out into the space of the sun instead of the space of this planet. All of that pressure bends, it buckles, and that's when our wave breaks. And I mention that because I think the point of the podcast that would be most helpful really is, so you have Christmas coming, and Christmas is going to be on a spectral day this year. Every year, December 25th is on a different day, and it moves through the 13 tones, as every day of the year does. Your birthday, any day of the year, 365 days from now, we're going to advance one tone. So this is the 23rd of December, and it's solar. December 23rd, 2021 will be planetary, and December 23rd, 2022 will be spectral. Tomorrow is a planetary day. Christmas Eve 2020 is planetary. Christmas Eve 2021 is spectral. Christmas, December 25th, 2020 is spectral. And next year it'll be crystal. So that's true of every day. I mean, I don't know if that's important to you, but it's kind of interesting. It just means that if you're commemorating your birthday or holidays, you can see that they also sequentially move through a wave spell over 13 years. So this particular Christmas, it's just all dissolving. And that's kind of cool since it's a COVID Christmas and it's not as normal as people would want it to be. It's abnormal. It's chaotic. Even though it's not happened yet, you know it is because it's different. And the focus, the pandemic, logistically and emotionally has taxed us. And in that exhaustion and abnormality, it's possible that it could feel like the whole thing is fucked and it's just fallen apart and this Christmas is just ridiculous, you know, like the breaking wave, like it's all blown apart, everything's upside down. And then also maybe after that or instead of that, in some households, it's like, this Christmas is not fixated on everyone compressing themselves into one house for, you know, overconsumption of food and excessive drinking. Like, yay, I love that all we could do this Christmas was take a hike. You know, the poor families whose children have been home for 9 months for 260 days get to do what? Go to nature again. That's all we've got. So maybe this Christmas ends up feeling like full freedom, freedom from the bondage of materialism and fixation on sort of the anti-Christian Christmas, which is sort of all about, you know, acquisition and not actually like helping or saving people. So that's what's fun about having Christmas on a spectral day. The thing that I wanted to throw in here is that this particular Christmas coincides with the Mayan birthday of José Arguelles. And José Arguelles is why I'm talking to you now. He's just the forebearer, the person that took the Mayan teachings and made them accessible to New Age people like me, or Western people, or Northern people, people north of the Mayan territories. I mean, he was the mastermind, and he gifted this to us through his visionary seeking and commitment to like a full scale transmission from the ancient Maya, whom he believed lived in the stars and spoke through guides to him. And he died. He's deceased, but he's one of them now. And you can find him, and on his birthday, which will be Christmas Day, you could maybe feel him more deeply. And since Christmas is supposed to be the celebration of Christ's birthday, I think it's kind of fun, like humorously. It's a nice interchanging of concepts for me to have, you know. I'm not as much of a Christian as I am like a Mayan disciple, so I'm going to celebrate my guide, my Lord and Savior, Jose Arguelles, on Christmas. And by celebrate, I just mean observe and see what happens. But every 260 days, I really try to turn on the gratitude and awareness and celebration of Jose's helpful, magical. He's magical because he's a blue monkey and he had a monkey mind, but he was the magician. That's one of the totems for blue monkey, is to be the magician, kind of like in the tarot. So it's his birthday on Christ's birthday. They're both great. Nothing wrong with Christ. I think once I tried to figure out, like, well, if Christ was born on December 25th, but we also started, like, the count of our Gregorian calendar from the day of his birth, which would be, like, zero, January 1, at some point I, like, figured out that he was a blue rhythmic monkey. I can't remember how I came to that. I can't remember, but I just remember that it kind of blew my mind because I was dating a super Christian guy named Monty who was a blue monkey. And I often talk about that his name was M-O-N-T-E and monkey is spelled M-O-N-K-E-Y. So like, what other name comes as close as being named monkey than Monty? But he was a super Christian and blue rhythmic monkey, so I thought that was meaningful. Those are the kinds of synchronicities that are the most fun, the ones that are just ludicrous and silly, and they make you laugh because they're just like, that's too much. That's just so funny. That's the best kind of synchronicity. There shouldn't be a lot of serious synchronicity, although that can be beautiful as well. This is kind of a blue monkey. I'm being kind of a blue monkey now. And then, is there anything else to say? Well, okay, so I got you through white planetary dog, blue spectral monkey, and then Saturday will be yellow crystal human. I just always like to point that out, that it goes white dog, blue monkey, yellow human. Three animals in a row. They're all mammals. They're all... four-legged, two-legged in their heads, you know, just whatever that means to you, but like just escalating from walking around on your pads to being stuck in your mind. And that is the nature of the animal sequence that we pass through right here and now. And I love that part of the calendar. And then it's red Skywalker, white wizard, blue eagle, and yellow warrior, and those are all like visages of a human life. Like, oh, I can be the prophet, I can be the wizard, the healer, I can be the visionary, and I can be the warrior. So we go from yellow human into kind of these like four major archetypes. And also, because the prophet, Red Skywalker, is also the farmer. Just so you're like, what? Well, who raises the food? Well, Red Skywalker is a celebration of corn. So that's a day to celebrate farming. And some of this, you know, is just what I decided. I'm not sure I could prove it, but it just sounds right to me, that you go through these animals and then you get kind of like, you get to yellow human and then you branch out to, what kind of human am I? And then red earth and white wizard and blue storm and yellow sun, the last four, are all about alchemy and change that come from the human sacrifice ritual. And maybe the way that I would delineate this is that you get to human and then you move through the phases of human, you know, enlightenment on earth, development, hungers, appetites. You know, I'm a healer, I'm a farmer, I'm a warrior, I am a visionary. And then you have to go to the top of the pyramid and be participatory in the most important ritual of that culture, of that epoch of the Maya, the human sacrifice ritual. And that, like I said, alchemizes from sacrifice to, well, like the red earth is the preparation for the ceremony. Then there's the white mirror day, which is the ceremony of sacrifice. And then the blue storm is the transformation that happens because of what you went through. And yellow sun is the attainment of enlightenment in life. Okay, it's all coming. I'm Lisa Starr. I'm another yourself. And Mayan, we say, in the Kesh.